I'm reading from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1 to 3. Now faith is assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the world were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. And God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and his infallible word. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chris, for reading God's word to us this afternoon. We are continuing our series through the letter to the Hebrews, the epistle to the Hebrews, and we're now in Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 3. Last week, Pastor Malcolm closed out Hebrews 10, highlighting the call, the urgency, if you like, for Christians to persevere. And now we read the opening verses of Hebrews 11, that is a well-known chapter on the heroes of the faith. Amen? We think of Samuel, Barak, Samson, Gideon, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Jacob. The list is extensive. And as we move into Hebrews 11, we must start by recognizing that as we bring our focus and our effort and our energy into one of the most powerful, poignant, and poetic chapters in the entire Bible, I wish that we could take some time to cover one or two of the heroes of the faith that you are undoubtedly familiar with today, but we're actually going to focus on the opening three verses that Chris just read for us. Familiar words, words we know well. These verses set the scene, but they also give us the trajectory of everything that you then read from verse 4 onwards in Hebrews 11. How many of us know faith tested is faith triumphant? Amen? Faith perpetually fuels you and will always encourage you in your daily walk with Jesus. So let's start at the start today. What does it mean to have faith? Is it some warped ideology, some fairy tale thinking? Is it some misaligned, misguided, futile hope in something or someone? Is our faith conditional? For example, does our faith elevate when things go well in our lives? Conversely, does it diminish or deteriorate when things are not going well in our lives? Essentially, is faith on trial in each and every one of our lives? Many people would suggest that faith is the perfect answer and it is the ultimate answer to every problem that we face in the world. But I believe it's vital that we place this chapter in the correct context. And as I mentioned, Pastor Malcolm finished Hebrews 10 last week, encouraging each and every one of us to respond robustly and resiliently to the call to persevere. The last two verses of Hebrews 10, verses 38 and 39, actually introduce Hebrews 11 for us. Verses 38 and 39, the righteous one will by faith. My soul takes no pleasure in anyone who shrinks back. But we are not among those who shrink back and so are lost, but among those who have faith and so are saved. Tough, testing, maybe even troubling words to end Hebrews 10 with, but they form the foundation stone of everything that we've read just now in Hebrews 11. The writer is explicitly stating that believers must develop resilience, deepen their faith through endurance, through perseverance, and through not ultimately giving up. And don't forget, it may be obvious to you, but don't forget that Hebrews 11 only focuses on those that actually did live by faith. Nobody who didn't live by faith is referenced in Hebrews 11, a vital distinction for each and every one of us, which means the faith that we must have will always be rooted in the better things that are to come in the New Testament ahead of what was in the Old Testament. As I mentioned, Hebrews 11 is known as the Hall of Fame, the heroes of the faith, a long list of men and women of God who authentically walked out their faith. But this chapter is more than just a chapter about those demonstrating faith. It shows the actual triumphs of faith. It shows how we can overcome difficulties. A quick example is actually found towards the end of Hebrews 11, verses 33 and 34. This is what they achieved, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fires, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't mind achieving some of that stuff in the name of Jesus. Amen? Can I get a witness in the house of the Lord today? It is men and women of God who exercise their faith. They place their trust where their trust had been earned, in God and in his infallible word. Let us not forget that Israel as a nation failed to find rest because of her unbelief. I wonder if we are vulnerable to the same result in our individual lives. Are we vulnerable to that today? To not seeing the breakthroughs, not seeing the deliverance, not seeing the victory because of unbelief. But will we today choose to rise up in faith, in confidence and assuredness that God is with us? Amen? He is the same yesterday, today and forevermore. And he is perfect in all of his ways towards us. We must find rest in every one of God's promises. We must find confidence in every one of God's promises. How utterly tragic if we were to go the same way that Israel did at that time. I want to briefly tiptoe into a verse later in Hebrews 11, verse 6. Familiar words to us, I'm sure, as well. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I mean, if that is a place to say, ouch, that would be it right there. The writer is being explicitly clear here. There is absolutely no way that you or I can please God without faith. But he uses a very, very specific sentence here. He says, it is impossible. There is no way, there is no excuse, there is no explanation, there is no extenuating set of circumstances that somehow negate you or cause you to obviate anything than having faith in God. If you don't, you cannot please him. It's not that you might be able to if you try harder or in a different set of scenarios and circumstances, maybe it could happen. He's saying, no, it will never happen. It is impossible. And the challenge for us today is he only seemingly lists one feature, one attribute, one quality, faith. Nothing else is listed. It's not faith plus five or six other things, and with faith maybe being the dominant one or the most important one or the most significant one. Just faith. That's what pleases God in every part of our lives. And the enormity of that reality should influence and impact the way that we develop and strengthen our relationship with God. So if you're struggling to understand faith today, verse 1 of Hebrews 11 informs us. Amen? It stretches beyond simply what we think faith is, and it actually gives us the biblical definition as stated by God. So what is faith? And why does faith have power? Verse 1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Right there, verse 1 captures for every believer what faith is. Wherever you see the words now or therefore at the start of a chapter, it acts as a bridge for the previous chapter and the words that are in the previous chapter. We know historically that the Bible was not in chapters. It was stitched together as one long, God beautifully written story. But their words now and therefore essentially act as a point of connection, a point of reference for us here. And so we can see that faith will not just deal with the present, it deals with the future. We all have faith if we have faith in Jesus Christ. Where are we going to spend eternity? Amen? Where are we spending eternity? Heaven is our home. Amen? We have faith and confidence in that, although we are yet to get there. We have faith that it will happen for each and every one of us. But the key word for us in verse 1 is the word assurance. I'm sure we all have a pretty good understanding, definition, if you like, of what assurance means. But let's take a moment to dig a little deeper. The dictionary definition is a positive declaration intended to give confidence, a promise, a pledge, certainty, or full of confidence, freedom from doubt or uncertainty. These are all good interpretations and a good understanding of what it means to have assurance of something or someone. But the writer here in Hebrews uses the Greek word hypostasis, which is accurately or more accurately translated confidence or assuredness or even reality. It refers to something that is solid, stable, and steadfast. Therefore, our faith cannot be feeble, flimsy, vague. It cannot be in something or someone that is not secure and steadfast. It has to be full of authenticity, confidence, and stability. It is not crossing our fingers and hoping for the best. Amen? That's not faith. That's wishful thinking dressed up as faith. That is futile and fruitless. But when you have faith in the promises found in Scripture, it is almost as if you have already possessed and claimed those promises for yourself. There can be no doubt or no uncertainty attached to that. And if you think about it, the promises of God are a little bit like a check. You know those old things that you used to write? You took them to the bank. You had to put them in the bank to cash them. Otherwise, they had no value. You have to put it into action. We must possess the promises of God. The promises of God must possess us. The word substance here, it almost acts like a confirmatory, a certificate of ownership, or clarity, like a deed, like a sense of ownership that it belongs to you. It is almost like legal papers, if you like, that make it abundantly clear that you are the rightful owner of that. So when you have faith in something, it's like you saying, I am the rightful owner of that. Whatever that thing is that you are saying, you have faith in. It goes beyond simple belief. Belief cannot make something true. Today is Sunday. Amen? Would we all agree? We cannot just decide to believe it's Monday today, and then it's therefore Monday. That is illogical. That is irrational. What God is calling for us to do is to have faith. Faith has a far greater capacity and capability. It gives us an assurance or a confidence of something, a certainty about what you claim you believe. Hebrews 3 verse 14 declares this for us, for we have become partners of Christ if only we hold our first confidence firm to the end. Which means that we should possess immense confidence in God. It is evidence that facilitates something coming into full alignment or full agreement with what is actually true for our lives. It carries conviction and confidence in equal measure. It is the foundation of our relationship with Jesus Christ. It is upon our confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved. Amen? It is our faith in Jesus Christ. Many of us here, when we came to salvation in Jesus Christ, we did not know the Bible in its totality. We did not know that there are 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. We didn't know that Paul wrote 50% of the New Testament. We didn't understand that there were 785,000 words that make up the Bible, 1,189 chapters written in three different languages, none of which we read them in our original language in English today. And yet we have faith in all of it. Why? Because we take God at his word. Has God ever failed you? Has God ever let you down? No. We have an assurance and a confidence that God is true to his word. The substance or the evidence actually substantiates God's promises over our lives. It guarantees that God's promises over your life are your present reality. They are not a far-flung dream or desire that may come to pass at some point in your life. Faith is taking God at his word every time, even when you don't feel like it. So what are the things hoped for? Nice house, red Ferrari, holidays twice a year. What do you think are the things hoped for? Well, it might not be those things. What about the hope of eternal life? Amen? Here are a few for us. Eternal life. Titus 1, verses 1 to 3 declares, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that is in accordance with godliness, in the hope of eternal life, that God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, in due time he revealed his word through the proclamation which I have entrusted by God our Savior. Amen. Verse 2, there is a critical consideration for us. What about the second coming of Jesus Christ? Every believer should have faith in the second coming of Jesus Christ. Titus 2, 11 to 14 tells us, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety, worldly passions in the present age, and to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself up that we might redeem us from our iniquity and purify for himself a people for his own who are zealous for good deeds. Wow. What about having hope and a confidence for victory over sin and death in our lives? What about the resurrection of our physical bodies? What about our heavenly home, as I've referenced? You can read that in Hebrews 11, verse 16. For any seasoned or mature Christian, these are not futile hopes. They are deeply rooted and anchored in the truth of Scripture and the promises of God. Faith is wholeheartedly believing that God will do what he said he will do, and it should be the cornerstone of all our Christian lives and ministry. It is choosing to believe God at his word and then decisively deciding to live our lives in that reality and in that truth, knowing that God will always give us revelation to his word, insights that will reach far beyond the physical and natural realm that each of us reside in. Because every promise in Scripture ultimately resides on divine revelation from God. You would have no need to have a confidence or a certainty about something that is unseen without revelation in Scripture. That alone proves to each and every one of us that faith can be distilled down to this truth: taking and trusting God at his word. That's it. No other ingredients, no other requirements, no hoops to jump through, a childlike faith and confidence that believes that God really is who he says he is, and he will do exactly what he says he can do. Because, you know, there's very little that God cannot do, amen? There are actually a few things. God cannot lie, amen? Numbers 23, 19. God is not like man that he should lie, that he should change his mind. Does he not speak and then not act? Does he not promise and then fulfill? Another thing that God cannot do, he cannot fail. Amen? He can never contradict his word. Isaiah 55, verse 11. My word that goes out from my mouth, it will never return to me empty. It will accomplish what I desire, and it will achieve the purpose for which I sent it out. That is a truth. That is a reality. That is a confidence that we can have today. And I find that that particular verse 11 there in Isaiah 55 emerges just two or three verses after other familiar verses that we know, verses 8 and 9 that declare, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than my ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. I find that very, very significant. Faith in God is never passive. It's always proactive. It always finds its gravity, its epicenter in the promises of God, and it embraces the truth and the totality of those promises. One of the challenges for us as Christians is we like the Bible, but we don't like maybe this chapter. Forgive you, my enemies. Let's get rid of that. Tithing, that's out. we surrender this, we tear out these pages. If we take the scriptures, we have to take all of it. That's the full counsel of God. That is everything that God wrote for us in his word. And it's most powerful when we accept it in its totality, equally weighted, equally measured at all times, recognizing that there will be moments and seasons where the Psalms will comfort and encourage us, where we will find inspiration in other parts of the Bible, but it's all equally weighted. It is all precious in God's sight and in God's eyes. Faith is earthing our hearts in the knowledge and accepting God being true to everything that he promises without any deviation. That is what will deepen your confidence and your conviction. Has anyone ever experienced a moment in your life or a season in your life where you have almost been forced to trust God? You've done it, maybe through gritted teeth, through nerves, through fear, through uncertainty, and you've seen God come through for you. What has it done to your faith? It strengthened it. It confirmed it. It enhanced it. It deepened it. Why? Because you have seen the outcome of living a life of faith before God and for God. That should encourage us to deepen it yet further. It should not cause us to retreat or recoil from trusting God and his promises, but to step forward with a courage and a confidence that if he's done it before, he will do it again. He is faithful to 1,000 generations. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He never changes. We change. We change our mind. We change our football team. We change our preferences all the time. God is beautifully consistent. Beautifully consistent in every part of our lives. He has never let you down. 1 John 5:9-10 proves this. If we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has testified to his Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have that testimony in their hearts. Those who do not believe in the Son of God have made him a liar by not believing in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. Authentic faith will always see the fullness of the objects believed for as if they're already present. Now that's not name it and claim it ministry. Let's be clear about that. But it is trusting God for what you know he has promised you as if you have received it right now by faith. Hebrews 11:6, as I shared, faith and hope are not the same. Do not conflate the two. Faith will always give you assurance on eternal matters. Hope will always simply reflect the confidence in what you believe. Biblical faith, therefore, can never be subjective. It always has to be objective because we have feelings. We have emotions, and therefore our faith in God does this. It can go up and down, and we can be in and out. That's never true. God is never on trial in our lives. Amen? God has never failed you before. He will never fail you today. All he asks for is, will you trust him? Will you have faith in me? Biblical faith, therefore, is always objective. Faith in God's word will always give us objective hope because it rests in objective truths and promises. Amen? We didn't write any of the promises that we find in Scripture. Now, there might be some that we wish we had written, and there are a lot that we like to claim, and there are a lot that we like to embrace, and there are a lot you might even have your favorite promise that's just your promise. But we didn't write them. God wrote them. But he makes them available and accessible to each and every one of us. And therefore, the words things hoped for capture everything of God's promises for your lives. And as I said, you can read, really, if you want the context, verses 36 to 39 of Hebrews 10. Romans 8:24-25, however, tells us, for in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait with patience. And it's that waiting that we struggle with, right? Do you know that delay is never denial with God? If he said it, he will do it. But often God gets put on our timetable and our timelines, and God is in the dock on our lives because he hasn't delivered on what we believe for and what we've hoped for. And yet I want to tell you today that if he said it, he will do it. He never sends his word out without it fulfilling everything that he called and accomplished it to do. So what does it mean to have a conviction? It means that there's evidence. It means that there's proof attached to this. The word conviction means evidence or proof. There is substantial weight and strength to that truth. When we lay hold of and claim every promise of God for the future, it's because it's supported and strengthened by God's word. Wherever proof is tested, there will always be conviction and confidence. And therefore, our hope is made genuine by faith in Christ. And therefore, carry your conviction of faith with a confidence and a courage that God is with you. This, therefore, means several things for us. Faith is not blind. You ever heard the phrase, oh, I've got blind faith? I've got blind faith. No, we're not called to have blind faith. Blind faith is when you support something or someone without any evidence, without any proof with which to support. It's illogical, illogical, and unreasonable. Do not embrace that type of thinking. Faith is having such confidence and courage that you, what you don't see with your own eyes, that you believe it and see it in the spirit realm. And that's the challenge for many of us as Christians, is we live in the natural so often in our daily lives. God calls us to lift our eyes higher. He calls us to live our lives through the spirit realm, where we interpret and understand everything as having a spiritual dimension, as having a spiritual connotation, and as having a spiritual outcome to it. That's what God calls us to do. The things not seen. Well, these words force a question for our consideration here. What are the things not seen? The writer is not inviting us to a name it and claim it theology that is infiltrating and infecting the Pentecostal charismatic church today. Visualize that brand new Ferrari and claim it in the name of Jesus Christ. No. What he is saying is far more deeper, far more spiritual than that. That's shallow and that's superficial. That's fleshly thinking. The things not seen are both the future of the believer and the truth that God presently gives each and every one of us. That person chooses by their decisions, by their heart commitment, and by their choices to believe what God says is true. Do you know that faith can also anticipate the future? It does not restrict its view to the current, to the present reality and evidence amongst us. There is far more for the Christian to embrace and understand in our Christian walk and journey. Here are a few considerations of things not seen. What about starting with the existence of God? Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would approach God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those that seek him. Or what about a few other considerations like the spiritual realm? The Apostle Paul reminds us in Ephesians 6 when he invites the church to put on the full armor of God. You can read the context in Ephesians 6 verses 10 to 13 or 10 to 20 actually. But let me read verses 10 to 13. Finally. And that's another word that basically links to everything that you've just read at the start of Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle, amen, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities and the cosmic powers of this present dark age, and against every spiritual force of evil operating in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you will be able to withstand on the evil day. And when you have done everything, stand firm. What about our future glory? Romans 8, verse 18, the Apostle Paul reminds us that he expresses this very eloquently. I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is about to be revealed to us. That's a word for us to embrace when you go through persecution, you go through tests, you go through trials, you go through challenges, you go through life and seasons where it's uncertain. Lay hold of the promises of God for the future glory. What about the coming judgment and the reward for believers? 1 Corinthians 5 verse 10 declares, "For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive due recompense for actions done in the body, whether good or evil." Therefore, we can confidently conclude that whilst we do not see it, we know it. Like air, you cannot see it, but you know that it's there. We see its effects in our daily lives. Faith operates in a very similar way. You may not see God physically, but you see his goodness every day. Amen? You see his grace every day. You experience his glory every day. His fingerprints will cover every area and aspect of your life. Faith makes invisible things visible in our lives if we would just start to look through the supernatural lens of Christ and not through our fleshly natural thinking. It accepts and affirms that everything that God says is true and that God will act on that reality. Faith never makes demands of God. Faith is never simply instructing God what we want him to do and then sitting back, waiting for him to do it and then saying, "Look, I had faith that God was going to do that." God will never author or bless what he has not authored in your life. You can't just make it up. You can't just dream it into being because that's what you would like for your life. God is never on trial. God is never in the dock. God never has to appease us. He never has to justify himself to us. He alone is sovereign. Faith has a 360-degree view of every area of our lives. It can reach back into our history. It can stretch forward into our future. And it's that looking back often that I believe we need to do as Christians to remind ourselves of every promise of God, to the power of remembrance where God had done it before and you're struggling to see where God will do it again. Stretch your mind back to where he did it before and you didn't think that he would, and then he did, and that will give you the fuel and the prayer focus to trust God that if he did it before, he will do it again. The power of remembrance, potent and poignant in equal measure. And the same is true for our future. We trust God for our promise and our future. Our faith rests in God and God alone, who is a promise keeper, a healthy, buoyant, active, expectant faith that is confident and courageous, not only in the present, but what the future actually holds. It reaches out and acts on that, and it breaks every barrier of the human mind and intellect. Faith is a confident commitment reflected in the heart of every single believer, and it is different to hope. Hope will always come from a state of mind. Different sources, different features, therefore different results. Faith ultimately is the foundation of our relationship in Jesus Christ. Amen? Every time you take God at his word, you position yourself for a breakthrough and a blessing. Amen? You have the assurance, not just in time, but for eternity. And Christians, we have both assurance and certainty that God will work it out. But our conviction equates to faith when our certainty is strong and stable. Genuine faith is the assurance that our sins have been forgiven by the death of Jesus Christ and that I will stand before my Creator and I will hear those words, "Enter, good and faithful servant." I have faith in that. I have confidence in that. As I said before, the rest of Hebrews 11 is a roll call, if you like, of heroes of the faith and all they did. They trusted in what they could not see. That's the power of faith. And it was their faith, not their works, that generated the admiration and the commendation of God. We must remember that in our own individual walk with God. You know, God is not looking at our CV, he's not looking at all our degrees, all our achievements and our accolades. In fact, he's only interested in really one facet. Will you have faith in him? Will you trust me? That comprehensively informs us that faith and faith alone pleases God. And more than faith, it tells us that we will not just be remembered by God, we will be rewarded by God. The great R.T. Kendall once said to me, "Scott, there are things that you will never understand this side of heaven." And boy, is he right. Have you ever gone through moments or seasons of your life and thought, "What on earth is going on? Just me?" Anyone in the house of the Lord, if you've been through any sort of walk and journey with Jesus, that will have been your thought reality at some point. But it's in those moments that you get to deepen your faith and your trust in God by saying, "I may not understand everything that's going on, but my eyes are fixed firmly on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of my faith." You do not need to know, therefore, how everything was made. You do only need to know who made it. That should be more than sufficient. Faith will always see the invisible behind the visible. So verse 2, "Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval." The word "indeed" here confirms the certainty about our faith in God. It is stated from a deep position of trust and confidence, and it's referring to the type of faith identified and communicated in verse 1, which basically says our ancestors have received a good testimony. If you're not sure who the ancestors are, the writer is referring to the Old Testament believers, and you can see littered through the Old Testament those people, those men and women of God who deeply and consistently demonstrated faith and confidence in God. And it was their faith in God that helped them overcome tests and trials, bringing honor and glory to God. So as we read here in the New Testament, Hebrews 11, it is the Holy Spirit celebrating and congratulating the Old Testament heroes of faith. God will always honor those who demonstrate faith in Him and His Word. And I would suggest to you that pleasing God should be one of the greatest aims and achievements for every single believer in Jesus Christ. Dr. R.T. Kendall, a few years ago, stood on this very platform with a sermon titled "Pleasing God." And he preached from Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. And about halfway through his sermon, he said the following words: "The grandest and greatest thing that can ever be said about anybody is that they pleased God. And this is a possible thing to do." Could that be your heart's cry today? That I want to live a life that pleases God? Because nobody can please God without faith. And that's what God calls us to today. That's what He's calling you and I to today. That's the power of faith, to please God. And we know that some people look to please God through our actions, through human effort, through willpower. Can I tell you, that is exhausting and horribly insufficient. It is about finding joy in your relationship with Jesus Christ. It is recognizing that He has done it all. We need to bask in that truth and reality. And finally, verse 3, "By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible." Do you know the words "by faith" appear 21 times in Hebrews 11 in just 40 verses. These verses remind each of us that faith always begins at the very beginning. And what I mean by that is the beginning of God's inspired and infallible word. Genesis 1, verse 1, "When God began to create the heavens and the earth." You can never separate your faith in God from your belief in Him as the Creator. They are inextricably linked. Now, nobody here is old enough to have been around when creation occurred, amen? Despite how you may feel this afternoon. But by faith, we all know that when He spoke, it came into being. Am I right or am I right? But we were not there, right? We did not witness that. We did not see that with our own eyes. But by faith, we know that that is true. Faith will always affirm God as a creator. We can always comprehend God's creation by faith. Paul makes that clear in Romans 1, verse 20. "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." Therefore, we have discernment as believers to deploy those values and truths that we find in God's word. We have no excuse to have an excuse. Proverbs 2, verse 6 tells us, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." God spoke the world into being. He spoke the word. Amen? And the ages referenced in verse 2 here are all the ages that can exist in space and time, whether known or unknown. God has a purpose for his creation. He operates outside of time and his creation. He is not restricted by anything that he himself has created. He possesses ultimate and exclusive continuity and totality of history because it is his creation. And you know, nothing catches God by surprise. He is intricately involved in every single aspect of his creation. He did not simply create and then abandon it. In the same way, he did not create us and then leave us abandoned. He is constantly permissioning, allowing, and endorsing every single age within time and history. He is constantly in control. He has never abdicated his throne. He has never relinquished his authority. He continues to rule and reign with his righteous right hand, and he is bringing his perfect will on earth, age by age, generation by generation. Psalm 33, verses 6 to 9 tell us, "By the word of God, the heavens were made, and all their host by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea as in a bottle. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be as he commanded, and it stood firm." God spoke into existence the entire universe. There was no material universe before God brought that into existence. The things which are seen, we refer to as material or physical universe. It falls palpably short of all that God has created. We were not present at creation, as I said. We can only understand that creation coming into existence through his infallible word. By faith, we understand that. And it reminds us that it is through faith that we know that God formed the universe, and that what we see is not an accident. Existence, the universe was created with an intentionality to it, and every person matters deeply to God. The physical earth that we get to call our temporary home here before we are reunited with Jesus forever points to an unseen creator. The visible order of the universe cannot ever be linked exclusively to physical matter. It always comes from the Creator. Remember, in the beginning, God created. Evolution can never claim to understand or deal with the origins, only ever the outcomes. That is a truth and a reality for us as Christians. They can only deal with what they see. Evolution can never reconcile cosmology all the origins of creator. And therefore, some of the thinking around it is just fundamentally wrong. It's flawed. Some of it is the Big Bang theory, that nonsense. The problem is the scientists, in bringing that as a solution or a potential answer, they can't tell you what was there before the Big Bang. So it already falls at the first hurdle. But we know the answer. Amen? Because in the beginning, God created. And he lives outside of his creation because he has authority and autonomy over his creation. So what am I saying in conclusion for us today? To have faith in God, we must believe that God is true, that he is alive, that he truly does reward those who diligently seek him. The key word there, diligently. You will always find God if you're searching for him. And you see him everywhere. I don't want to be funny, but you are sitting amongst evidence of God, of his majesty, of his beauty, of his sovereignty, of his lordship, of his grace, of his goodness, of every part of God's heart and nature. You see it on display just in this room. Forget going to one of the seven wonders of the world. Forget going across the road. Just here in and amongst the body of believers here at KTLCC, you see God. Faith is a heartfelt belief and confidence in the very nature and character of God and his promises and his capacity and ability to move and minister into our lives. So what does faith look like for us today? Here are a few, I would strongly suggest, mandatory features for each of us that would make faith. Faith is always obedient, number one. Hebrews 11:8, Abraham obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, it says the word, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as his inheritance. And he set out not knowing where he was going. But the opening two words of that verse are crucial. By faith, it is only faith that caused Abraham to obey. Nothing else is mentioned or indicated or insinuated in any way. If you want to grow your faith, you've got to get uncomfortable with your current level of faith. Growth and comfort can never coexist. Decide which one you want the most. That will be where God grows you and deepens you. Said differently, authentic faith will always lead you to action. Faith that does not lead you to action is dead. James 2:17 makes that explicitly clear. So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. Which means we need to put our faith in action. I know so many Christians, and it breaks my heart. Let's say they are looking for a job. They will say to me, "Oh, Pastor Scott, I am trusting God. I've got faith in God. I'm going to have a job next week." And I say, "Praise God. What are you doing about it?" "I'm staying at home. I'm praying about my job." And they give that to me as a genuine, serious, heartfelt, honest answer. And it breaks my heart. My thinking is, when you haven't got a job, your job is to get a job. So pray as much as you want, but 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, you're giving your CV out. Would you agree? Because faith without works is dead. The job isn't going to fall into your lap sitting at home while you're praying. You have to put your faith into action. Number two, faith is always enduring. Take time this week to read verse 4 onwards, verse 4 to verse 40 of Hebrews 11. None of those people had it easy. They went through it. They went through tests and challenges. They had to develop spiritual muscles to endure, despite often not even wanting to give up. They waited patiently and proactively. And for some of them, they never saw the fullness of the promise. But what did they do? They kept on keeping on. They didn't give in, they didn't give up, and they didn't surrender. Maybe you are in a similar season right now. Rejoice and be glad. Do not give up. Faith waits with a confident expectation that God is good and he will do it. And number three, faith is always focused. Hebrews chapter 12, again, focusing on the opening two verses. Verse 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith." So authentic faith never looks at your circumstances, but always looks exclusively and directly to Jesus. Easier said than done, but just because it's hard doesn't mean it's not possible. Amen? We have to choose today to have faith and say, "I will look to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith." Now, who is the greatest example of faith that you or I may know? It's Sunday, so the answer is Jesus. Amen? Jesus didn't just teach faith. He lived it out boldly and bravely. You want some evidence for that? I'll give that to you. Number one, he trusted the Father completely. John 6:38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Number two, he obeyed unto death. Philippians 2:7-8, "But he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, assuming human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a human, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Number three, he endured the pain and the anguish of the cross. The second part of Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." And so because Jesus had faith, That same faith is afforded to us today. So what have we discovered and reminded ourselves of today? That we have an assurance of what you hope for. That there is evidence of what you do not yet see. You can leave behind a legacy of faith. Amen? That people after you and I will stand on our shoulders of faith, and they will go further and do more for the kingdom of God. It is us in our own hearts and lives where we choose to trust God and connect with God in a way where we say that there is power of faith. Because ultimately, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 is the believer's truth and reality. For we walk by faith and not by sight.